Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Nido Daf Mem Gimel. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the shiur, and even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's shiur begins on the first line of Daf Mem Gimel. Before we begin the shiur, let us glance at the side margin in which you see the expression Nosei, a topic heading, is found. And this introduces our sugya. We have written Zav Shemesit Es HaTor, a Zav that causes the movement of someone who is Tohor, Mitamoi Rak Im Masito Begolui, will communicate Tumah to the Tohor person only if the method or the means through which he causes the movement of the Tohor person is through something external. Dumyo di yodoi, similar to his hand. In other words, the word yodo is featured in the pasuk that we will see in the Gemara. And therefore, if the Zav, let's say, uses his hand to push a Tohor person, even if there's something intervening between the two, but he, the Zav, is using something external to cause the movement of the Tohor person, that is sufficient. That is the means of communicating Tumah. V'loi al yedei kona bekumto, as opposed to, let us say, the Zav would be supporting a stick in his underarm, and thereby using the stick that's currently positioned in the Zav's armpit to shove a Torah person, that would not be metamehim. And this we note, the contrary would be true. In other words, the opposite would be true. In the case of a Tohor person who's moving a Zav, then even if the means of his moving were concealed, as we just gave an example, the stick in the armpit of the Tohor person and his causing the Zav to move, that would be metama, the Tohor person who's causing the movement. And that's a form of Tumas Masa. So that what we're in effect saying, when a Tohor person is carrying or moving a Tomei person, that's Tumas Masa. Tomei person, of course, we're limiting ourselves right now to the discussion of a Zav. So the Zav is Mitame B'Masa. So the Tohor person will become Tomei. However, there is no precedent for a Tomei person moving or carrying a Tohor person that would enable us to say the same thing, that the Tomei person will communicate Tumah to the Tohor person when the Tomei person is doing the carrying. The Gemara, top line, Omrei Shlokish, Kona Bekumto Shel Zav, a stick is supported in the armpit of a Zav, a hesed bo esator, and he uses the stick in that position to move someone who is tohor. Tohor, the person remains tohor. Kona bekumto shel tohor, if there's a rod or a stick in, supported in the underarm, the armpit of a tohor person, the hesed bo es a Zav, tomei, and he thereby causes the movement of a Zav, so the tohor person will become tomei. My taima, why is it that a Zav that causes the movement of a Tohor person in this fashion, Bekumtoi, does the Tohor person remain Tohor? Answer, the Omar Kral. And the answer takes a few lines to develop. You'll notice we have a long answer marking a Tof that's encircled with a vertical dashed line. The Omar Kral, the Pasuk says, V'chol asher yigabo hazov, v'yodov lo shutaf b'mayim. the Rashi on this pasuk says, "Dichtiv v'chashiga bo hazov v'hai kro." This pasuk lav lemago itzrich. It's not needed for the case of a zav touching something. The ha ksiv v'anogea bebasar hazav. There's another part pasuk that deals with contact. Elozeh hesetoy shel zav. This pasuk is dealing with movement that the zav causes. Mikan lomadnu, from here we learn, zav shesit es hator tome, that a zav who causes the movement of someone who is tor, that will cause the tor person to become tome. Shalomot sinu b'chol hatura tumo hamasetes tahara shetetame. We don't find in the Torah cases of tuma that moves tahara and thereby imposes tuma on the tor. Elohim kain nosa tohor es hatome. Unless it was a case of a tor carrying or moving the tome. Rocha bezav, hu degoli rachmona. Here, in the case of zav, there is a revelation of a tome person moving the tor person. The kosa viodov, and in this posuk there appears the word viodov, the darshinon hochi, from which we learn, hecho deheisit bo hazav biodov, where the zav causes the tor movement. The Torah person's movement through Yodov. Yodov literally is his arms, but Klomar Begolui, through something that is open or visible. The Rashi continues, Lo Shotef B'mayim Milsachritihi, the expression of Lo Shotef B'mayim, that means he didn't wash his hands. That's a separate topic, L'melef L'tila Sidayim L'chila, from which we learn the concept of washing one's hands for eating. Mehocha, from this particular phrase, Almo. But what we see from here is, Hesid Zav es Tohor, if a Zav causes the Tohor to move, Eino Tome Elamkein Hesita Begolui Biyodov. Tuma is communicated only if he causes movement through something exposed or open. Umidaafke Belosha Negia, and from the fact that the Posuk, when we're talking about movement, uses the term contact, Yalfino Nami L'chol Negios, we learn from here regarding other contacts, Dein Maga Beis Hastorim Metame, that contact made through the Beis Hastorim, through a concealed area, is not considered contact. Avol Tohor Shehesid Es Azav, but the case of someone Tohor who causes the movement of a Zav, Denafgalon Mikrachrina, which is learned from another Pasuk, Deloksiv Be Yodov, where you don't have the word Yodov in it, Tomei afil esit bekonesh bekumto, the Torah person will become Tomei even if he is supporting the rod in his armpit. Midid havei anevela bekumto, similar to the case of someone moving a piece of nevela bekumto. Shehi mitama b'maso, that there is tumas maso, domi komo komarehu no seas atuma. Because any way you look at it, even if it's through a concealed part of his body, he nevertheless is causing the movement of the movement or supporting that which is Tomei. Turning back to the Gemara, having read the Pasuk of what is the reason for, we asked what is the reason for the Tohor who moves the Zav, that is, who moves the Tohor, Bekumto, that he remains Tohor, the Pasuk says, V'chol shiga bo azav, yidav lo shotu f'mayim. We don't find a case of a Tomei moving the Tohor and causing the Tohor to become Tomei, except for that which we see over here. The Afke Rachmona Boloshe Negia, and the Torah takes pains to use the word Negia, Lameimra, the Hesit Unegia Kiyodov. That Hesit and Negia are like his hands. Maha Hosa Me'ivroi, just like there, it's something external. The hand is something that's exposed. Af Hocha Me'ivroi. So too over here, when we talk about the Zav causing the Tor to move, it has to be something that's unconcealed, as opposed to the case of the Zav holding the rod in his armpit and thereby causing using the rod in that case to move the Torah person. The Torah person will not become Tomei. Avol, Hazav, Ubalkeri, Enon, Mitamin, Vechulei. The Mishnah had taught that Einon Mitamin Ad Shetetzei Tum'osan L'chutz, they do not experience Tum'a until the discharge leaves their body. This is as opposed to women who become Tomei through a blood discharge, but they become Tomei even if the blood is still in their body and it reaches the base Hachitzon. So the Gemara goes on, Zav, Dichtiv, the Mokur, the source for a Zav, is as it says in the Pasuk, Ki a Zav mi Basoro, and from which we learn, Ad she yetze Zovo mi Basoro, until the Zov discharge leaves his body. Balkeri, Dichtiv, the case of a semen sighting, it must leave his body. Dichtiv, Ish ki seitze mimenu shichvas zera. When the shikvazera, when the semen leaves his body. The Mishnah described someone who was eating truma and felt an impending discharge. The Mishnah's expression was he was eating truma vehirgish shinizdazu eborov oiches ba'ama ubodeya esa truma. He feels that his body shuddered. And he is then instructed to hold his organ and swallow the truma that he was in the midst of eating, and this is all an attempt to keep the discharge, the semen, from exiting his body while he is actually eating the truma. So the Mishnah the Gemara asks on the Mishnah. Is he expected to hold his male organ? Vatanya, we have a Tanaic source which we have learned earlier in this Masichta Daf Yud Gimel. Rebbe Lozer Omer Kola Oiches Ba'amu Mashtin. Anyone who holds his organ and urinates, Kilu Mevi Mabul La'Olam. It's tantamount to his bringing a flood to the world. The Rashi points out that during the Dor HaMabul, the generation of the flood, the population was guilty of causing them to have a semen sighting, possibly what's called masturbation. So, and that's involved through bringing heat onto the heat and friction onto that organ, and that is accomplished through holding the organ. So that we find that that's something that's a terrible offense. How can that be suggested by the Mishnah? Omar Abaye. Abaye explains what the Mishnah means is bematlis ova. He holds his organ with a thick cloth that will not communicate heat to the organ, and hence the fear of this action bringing on a sighting is not something to worry about. In other words, the Mishnah does describe a case where the discharge started to flow within his body. His body had this sensation that it's going to come out of him, but he is not going to be responsible for it through his holding, because he's holding it through a matlas ova, a thick cloth. Rova Omar afilu tema b'matlas raka. The Mishnah is describing even if he's holding the organ with a soft or thin piece of material, and yet there is no problem of mevi mabul oilam, because kevan to okar, once it has become dislodged from its point of origin and is about to come out, what is okar means it's uprooted or it's dislodged. Once it's dislodged, it's dislodged, and his continued holding of it isn't going to make any difference. The Abaye, who does not want him to use the matlis raka, the soft cloth, chayesh dom osila sofi, he is choshesh, he's concerned that maybe he, by holding it now, will cause more to come out. The Rava, losofi lo chayesh, Rava is not concerned with that possibility of his causing more to come out. The Gemara asks, veloi, vaha tanya, how can you say that Rav is not concerned with more coming out when the following Tanaic source teaches, Lamaze Doime, what is the semen release to be paralleled to? Lenoisin Etzba Ba'ayin, like one who puts his finger in his eye, she calls manshetz mabayin, as long as he keeps his finger in his eye, medamas v'chozeres medamas, it tears and continues to tear. Same thing with regard to the organ. When one is causing semen to come forth, his continued preoccupation with the organ will simply bring on more and more. So why does Rava say over here that matlis raka is okay when there exists the fear that he is going to be causing more? The Gemara answers, the Rava kol achmumi v'hadar achmumi b'shaita lo shechiach. Let's take a look at the Rashi. Lo shechiach. Before we read the Rashi, the translation of the Gemara is that any situation of something that's heated up and then a continued further heating is something uncommon. What do we mean by that? In light of the fact that we have a Tanaic source that parallels the semen release to a finger in one's eye. So Rashi says at the lower part of the narrow lines, lo shechiach, uncommon, v'ha desanya calls manchetz v'ayin medamas, that which the Tanaic source taught that the semen release is like to be imagined like one's finger in one's eye, and there's constant tearing. That's where the initial flow started as a result of his own applying friction and heat to that area. The yotze calls shalmeat, and at every point in time, more and more comes out. But the case of the Mishnah, that the person was not engaged in that activity, but rather for some other reason he had a sensation and the semen started to flow. Nekar kol hazera biyachad. At that point, everything that is going to come out at that point is already dislodged and on its way out. V'shuv enu chozer mischamim lakor oid miad b'shoachas. Under those circumstances, it's uncommon that any more will come out at that time. So since there is an initial difference between the case of the Mishnah and that which the Tanaic source features, Rava doesn't mind taking his chance, so to speak, on the Mishnah's case and allow the fellow to use a matlis raka. As we look ahead in the Gemara, you'll notice some numbering and double underlining, which suggests a series of something going that's going to happen. So we glance in the outside margin and see that we have a Nosei Mivneh heading, under which we've recorded that they're the double underline and Roman numerals 1 and 2, even though we have 3, Roman numerals 1 and 2 are Shnei Lishonos B'Shmuel. There are two versions of Shmuel, Be'inyan Shichva Zera She'eno Mitame, cases of Shichva Zera of a semen release that do not cause tumah. And one is She'en Kogufo Margish, a case where he doesn't have a body sensation when it's being released. Number two, She'eno Yoyra Kechetz, that it doesn't come out with force. Literally, it's not shot like an arrow, but for our purposes, where it doesn't come out with force. Lishna Shlishis, there's a third Lashon of Shmuel that's Cholek al Ha Deliel, that's different than that which it's in effect arguing that which was said before it. So we now take a look at the Gemara. Omar Shmuel, kol shichva zera she'ein kogufo margish ba, any semen release where the person doesn't have a complete body sensation, eino mitama, it does not cause tuma. Mai taima, why is tuma achieved only when there's a body sensation? Shichva zera omrachmona, the Torah describes semen as shichva zera. It has to be a semen release that would be able to cause impregnation. And apparently, if there's a release without this body sensation, you can then know that the shichva zera that is released under those circumstances where there is no sensation won't be capable of procreation. Meisve, we have a Tanaic source which seems to suggest otherwise. Hoy mahar belaila, person was thinking thoughts at night, very likely thoughts of an immoral nature. The omad umotza besoro cham tomei, and he gets up in the morning and finds his aver, his male organ, to be hot. He is considered tomei. So we see from here that even if there is no hargosha, we don't see any hargosha over here, yet there is tuma. Tirgama Rav Huna. Rav Huna explains this source. Be mishamesh mitoso b'chaloimoi, the efshur l'shamesh below hargosha. This person was having dreams of an immoral nature. Mishamish literally is intimacy. He had intimacy in his dreams, and under circumstances like that, if it came out, he definitely had a sensation. Maybe he doesn't recall it in the morning, but you can rest assured that at the time he had a sensation. Mishno Achrina, a different version of Shmuel. Omar Shmuel kol shichva zera she'eno yoyra kecheitz eino mitamo. Any shichva zera that is discharged without force, it's not mitama, doesn't cause tumah. The Gemara asks, "My iko bein hai lishno lahai lishno." What's the difference between version 1 and version 2? Iko binayhu ne'ekro bahargosha v'yotso shelo bahargosha. A situation where it was ne'ekar, it became dislodged from an internal dislodging of the semen before it left the body. At that point, there was a feeling, there was a sensation, and it's yotze shelo bahargosha means it came out without force. So, if it all depends on hargosha, so then according to Lashon 1, there was hargosha. However, it, as far as Lashon 2 is concerned, it did not come out with force. So, according to Lashon 2, this case would not be tomei. Whereas according to Lashon 1, it would be tomei. The man would be tomei. We have a bracketed section following which you see there's a third lashon of Shmuel, so that the brackets give you the option of skipping this section, and you can see immediately Lishna Achrino Armiloma Shmuel, and there's a third lashon of Shmuel. But that having been said, we'll now focus on that which is in the brackets. Milsa de pshita le the Shmuel miboya le la Rava, that which was obvious to Shmuel, and we saw two versions of Shmuel taking a definitive stand. This remains a question with regard to Rava. The boy Rava asked, Nekra bahargosha v'yasa shalom bahargosha mahu. If it became dislodged with a sensation, but it exited, it was discharged without a sensation, and for our purposes that means it was discharged without force, what is the din? So as far as that case, we said, if you accept version 1 of Shmuel, the man will be tomei. If you accept version number 2 of Shmuel, the man will not become tomei. So as far as this case and Shmuel is concerned, there is a definitive stance. As far as Rava is concerned, he doesn't know. And he asks, what's the din? Toshma. So we try to answer by the following source. Balkeri shetava v'lo hitil mayim. A person who had been a balkeri, a person who is tomei as a result of a semen discharge, shetaval, he immersed himself in the mikveh, v'lo hitil mayim, but he had not urinated before his mikveh immersion. Now he comes out of mikveh, l'chshiatil mayim tomei, at the point that he urinates after his mikveh immersion, he will become tomei. And we want to emphasize, even though it did not come out with hargosha. So you see that from this source that a semen discharge, even if it comes out without a hargosha, it causes tuma. The Gemara responds and says, Shiny Hossam, that case is different. The Rubo Bahargosha Nofak, initially the majority came out with a sensation. So that this is simply a residue of that which had come out with a sensation. Therefore, this residual amount, the keri that remains in him upon and exits with his urination, is something that whose source was certainly capable of creating tumah. The Rashi adds to this, L'chshit yatil mayim tome, d'nishtayim min hakeri, v'yotzi afsho, v'af agav d'lo nofik b'hargosha, even though it's not coming out now when he urinates with the hargosha, hoyol meikora yakir b'hargosha, since, however, it originally became dislodged with a sensation, namely before he went to the mikveh, the original keri sighting was nadkar with a hargosha, the residual carry that comes out now is capable of being metamehim all over. We now continue with a third version of Shmuel. Lishno achrino amri lo omar Shmuel kol shichva zera sheino yore kecheitz ein no mazras, any semen discharge that does not come out with force does not cause impregnation. As ruihu delo mizra, it does not cause impregnation, but we can infer ha tumuye metamia, but it does cause tuma. Shenemar ki ye choish asher lo ye tor mikre afilu keri ba'olam, any form of keri of semen is enough to cause tuma, as is the topic of this particular pasuk that was just quoted. So this lashon gives us a maskona, a ruling that there will be tuma even if it's not yore kechetz. In lashon number 2, for example, we saw that if it's not yore kechetz, there will not be tuma. Hence, lashon number 2 is at odds with lashon number 3. As we continue in the Gemara, we notice a new geometric form. You'll notice triangles that appear. And under our Nosei Mivneh heading, in the margin, we explain that the triangle represents She'elois, E Azlin and Bosor Akira. These are questions that have in common the issue of, do we focus on the point of separation? Akira, as we said before, uproot or separation, which is a situation where the impending discharge, whatever is featured in the Gemara, happened to become dislocated from its origin, but didn't exit the body yet. We'll talk about this issue of Akira in the context of Shichva Zera, of semen, and Me Raglayim, urine. The Gemara, Boy Rava, Oyvei Kichovim Shehirher, V'yorad V'toval, an idol worshipper that had thoughts, was thinking things most likely of an immoral nature, and there was, at that point, there was a sensation of semen separated from its source. Again, I'm hesitant to use the word a semen discharge because it doesn't exit the body at this point. So we'll just have to use the term, there's an akira that took place. And he then, at this very point in time, after having this body sensation, he then immersed in a mikveh for the purpose of conversion. That's v'yorad v'toval. And now it actually exits his body. Mahu, what is the din? Bearing in mind that a Gentile, when a Gentile is not someone that is ever said to be Tomei on a Torah level. So we say as follows, Im Timsilomar Boser Akira Azlinon, if you say that we focus on Akira as a determining factor, Hani Nili L'chumra, that's when such a ruling would result in a stringency. Aval hocha de lekula, but here, where the akira would result, if we emphasize the akira, he was still a goy, he was still an idol worshipper. and that would lead to a lenient ruling. So lo amrinon, we don't say we'll look at the akira, and rather we will look at the fact that the actual discharge took place when he was Jewish. Oy dilma lo shno, or maybe we don't make any distinction. We always go boser akira, whether or not it's going to be a stringency, like in the case of a Yisrael, where he had a hargosha, and we can say that even if it didn't come out with force, but he had a hargosha, that will metame him. And likewise, even if it results in a kula, like our case, we still will focus on the akira. And if that be the case, in here where there was a conversion, if we are going to emphasize the akira, he will not become tome. Boy Rava, Zova Shinekru Mei Ragleha Vyordavitovlo Mahu. Let us point out that Mei Raglayim, urine, is classified as a Ma'ayon. This is a concept that we have learned about earlier in this Masechta, and that is that there are several kinds of people that are Tomei, and when they are Tomei, their Ma'ayonos are Tomei as well. And a Ma'ayon is described as those types of liquids that accumulate in the body and are released in one shot. The term in Hebrew for that is called misagil v'yoytze. So here we have a zava, a woman that was tamea as a zava, and she had a feeling of her urine is was ne'ekar, and the urine is a mayon. And she then went to Toivel. She went and immersed herself in the mikveh to matar herself from the Zova period. And after she came out of the mikveh, she then urinated. So what is her status? Im tim salom or boser akira azlinon. If you say that we are to focus on akira, hani mili shichvas zera. That is true with regard to a semen release. The lomotzi noket lot, something that a person, once it's nekar, he can't hold it in. He can't stop it from coming out. Avo meme raglao, the motzi noket law, urine is something that a person can keep in, can restrain. Loi, so we won't say that we won't emphasize the akira. Oi dilmo loishno, or possibly there is no difference. And if you say there is no difference, so then the fact is that the Meiraglaim was Nekar at a point that she was still Tomei, so that Meiraglaim will not benefit from the immersion in the mikveh. Teku, this remains unresolved. Boy Rova, Uvedes Kechovim Zova, Shinekru Meimei Ragleho. Here we're combining the two previous triangles into a third case. Here you're dealing with someone, a woman that is interested in converting as a goya, as she was a goya, so she had experienced a blood discharge that, if she were Jewish, for example, would have made her tummy. So she's a zova, and Rashi points out at the bottom, Oivedes kechovim, stam avis kechovim meragleo, mitamin chachom gozro aleim shu kezovim l'chol divrayim. The rabbis imposed a ruling, a rabbinic status on all idol worshippers as having a din of zav, and therefore their meraglayim would be considered a source of tuma. So in this case, we have an avedis kohavim that was a zava, and she had a meraglayim akira feeling. And now she goes to the mikveh to convert. The yorda, we're at the top now of Omid Beis, the top line, the yorda, the tovla, mahu. She, at that point, after the sensation of the akiris meraglayim, she then immerses in the mikveh as for the purposes of conversion. Mahu, what is the din here? Im tim salomar boso akira azlinon. If you say that we are to emphasize akira, even in a case where it's something that can be withheld, hanimili yisraelis de tmeo de oraisa. That would be true in the case of a Jewish woman where you're dealing with tuma de oraisa. For example, the mei raglayim of a Jewish zava is a ma'ayon, and it's something that could be metame midoraisa. Avol oivedes kechavim zava de tmeo de rabbanan lo. But when you're dealing with a Gentile woman who is a zava, where the whole realm of tuma is only rabbinic, so we don't make the gzera, and hence in this case we're dealing with the mei raglayim, which is something that can be withheld. So I won't go basar akira, and I will allow her, let's say, the mikveh experience to mitahir it, or dilma lo shna, or maybe we don't make a distinction, and we simply will go Bosar Akira, and it's coming from a situation of Tumah, and it's Ne'ekar, and hence the mikveh won't help. Teku. The issue remains unresolved. As we continue in the Gemara, we will be making reference to Psukim quite often in the next few lines of Gemara. The topic that we'll be dealing with is featured under the Nosei heading in the outside margin, Shi'ur Zoiv Hametame, the quantity of Zov, of that substance that we call Zov, that's needed to cause Tumah. And a second point that will come under discussion are Mekoros, our sources, Lezav, Baal, Shnayim, Sholosh, Rios, for establishing a person as a Zav as a result of two or three sightings. We can say that as a result of two Zav sightings, whether they be two on one day or two separate sightings on two consecutive days, that will make the man Tomei for 7 days, during which he has to observe 7 clean days. If, however, or if in addition, he has three sightings, so not only will he be Tomei for 7 days, but at the end of the seven clean days, he'll have to bring a sacrifice. So the difference between a Zav Baal Shnei Rios and Shel Shrios is the need for a sacrifice. We have psukim that, as we said before, are relevant to this discussion, and they're quoted in the margin of our Gemara. So let's read the psukim just to get a feeling for what they sound like. Vayikra, Perek Tezvav, Pos, Psukim, Beis, and Gimel, and they're featured, as we said, on the inside margin. You can follow along. It says, Dabru el b'nei Yisrael v'yamartem aleihem. Ish ish ki ezov mibsoro zovo tomehu. V'zos posagimel, v'zos tia tumoso b'zoivoi, ror b'soro ezoivoi, oi hichtim b'soro mizoivoi tumosoi hi. Now we turn to the Gemara. Omar Shmuel, Zav tzorech kechasimas pi ho'amo. A Zav, in order to become Tomei, would have to have the Zov liquid in a quantity that it covers the opening to the male organ. Shenemar oy hichtim besoroi mi zoivoi. That's featured in Pasuk Gimel. So that, according to Shmuel, there is a definite quantity that is necessary before we can speak about any tumah. V'ho anan t'nan mitamen b'chol shehen. But have we not learned that tumah is achieved with any amount? So why is Shmuel featuring a definitive quantity? The Gemara answers, who, the Omar Shmuel, who was an Amura, has a different Tanaic basis for his conclusion, because he is Kerebi Noson. The Sanya is following Rabbi Noson's teaching, as it's featured in this source, Rabbi Noson Oimer, Mishum Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Noson quotes Rabbi Shmuel as saying, Zav Tzorech Kechasimas Pi Ho'amo. Veloi Hoidulo. Rabbi Shmuel says that an amount of Chasimas Pi Amo is necessary, but the Rabbon and his colleagues disagree. They didn't concede to him. And now the Gemara, you can see with our under scribble underlining, is going to have a type of back and forth discussion. What does each one do with the other one's sources? My time of Rabbi Shmuel, what's the basis of Rabbi Shmuel? Diomakro o hichtim besoro mizavo. And hichtim is a loshon chasimo, a type of sealing of his flesh, of his organ. And that's what we meant before. That's what he meant before when he said enough to cover the opening. For Rabbonon, the Rabbonon, on the other hand, ahu miboyale, they need this pasuk for the following: lach mitama veinu mitama yovesh, that the zov substance creates is something that communicates tumah only when it's damp, not when it's dry. For Bishmoel, hahu miror nafka, he learns that point of dampness from the word roar. That's found in the pasuk. You can see that in pasuk gimel. For Rabbonan, hahu leminyana hu daasa, the Rabbonan use roar for the issue of numbers, number of sightings, as we said before in our introductory remarks. And here the Gemara features the key phrases from the pasuk, in this case from pasuk gimel. The pasuk has the word bizovo in it, which equals chada, that's one sighting. Ror basaro equals trey, that's a second sighting. Es zoivoi equals tlas, that's a reference to a third sighting. Limeid al zav bal sholosh rios shechayov bekorban. This teaches us about the zav who has three sightings and is hence obligated to bring a sacrifice. Oy hichtim basaro mizovo tomei. This expression you see also in Pasuk Gimel, where it says "Ohichtim b'so mizovo tamei." The mem is a letter indicating reduction or qualification. From this, we learn "Miktsas zovo tamei," partial amount of sightings also results in tuma. Limeid al zav bal shtei rios shemetame mishkav u'moshav. This teaches us about the zav who experienced two sightings, that he is completely tomei to the extent that the beds and chairs that he sits on also become tomei. And when we speak about them becoming tomei, that would mean that if people come into contact with his mishkav and moshav, the person will become tomei, because the zav was mitame the mishkav and moshav. Rabbi Shmuel, minyona minole, where does Rabbi Shmuel learn numbers from? Because up till now we were featuring the Rabbonon's opinion, as you can see by just skimming back a few lines. You'll see the last name that was squiggled underline had been the Rabbonon. So where does Rabbi Shmuel learn this information from regarding sightings and the number thereof? Answer, nafka lei mida Rabbi Simoi. He learns it from Rabbi Simoi's teaching, the Sanya. The following Tanaic source features Rabbi Simoi, who says, Rabbi Simoi Oimer, mono hakosuf shtai v'koro tome. This is in Posuk Beis. There is a number of zovs that are cited. If you look in Pasuk Beis, you see the word zav, or a variation thereon, twice. And that means he's tomei. And in Pasuk Gimel, sholosh v'koroi tomei. When you look at Pasuk Gimel, so you see the word zovo three times, and he is referred to as tomei. So how do you resolve these two points? One pasuk has it twice and he's tomei, and the pasuk three times and he's tomei. So if after two times he's tomei, then certainly at three, ha ketzad. How do you resolve this? Shtayim l'tuma, two sightings results in tuma. The sholosh l'korban, a third sighting will obligate him to bring a sacrifice. Ulaman denafkole travayu mizois tia tumasabazov. According to the Rabbonon, who learn both points from Pasuk Gimel, as we saw, the idea of two sightings was learned from the expression mizovo tumaso, and we said there mixazovo, two sightings makes him tome. So the Rabbonon learned the phenomenon of a two sighting and a three sighting zav from Pasuk Gimel. What about Pasuk Beis? Ish ish kia zav mi besaro mai ovid lei. What do the Rabbonon do with Pasuk Beis? What do they learn from that? They need Pasuk Beis to teach me that there's no tumah of a Zav until it leaves his body. Zovo Tome Lomali. What do they learn from that phrase? Because up till that point, they learned from Ki Ye Zav Mi Besoro, the idea of it leaving his body. What about the subsequent phrase of Zovo Tome Lomali? Answer, Limeid al Hazov Shutome. This teaches us about the substance itself, that it is Tome. Before going on in the Gemara, we have a topic heading that we entitled, under the Nosei heading, Dino Shel Rabbi Chanoi Loi, the Din of Rabbi Chani Loi, Mago B'Shichva Zera B'Chadosha, that contact with Shichva Zera will result in Tumah if there is an Adosha quantity. An Adosha is a certain small amount, but it's a definitive amount. And sometimes Adosha is translated as a lintel, but it's a small amount, but it's a definitive amount. So there's no Tumah through Shichva Zera contact unless there is an Adosha amount of semen that is there. Haroya keri tome b'mashehu. However, the person who himself has a keri release, has a semen emission, he will become tome even if there's a minuscule quantity, a mashehu. The Gemara, Omar Rav Chaniloi Mishum Rav Lozer Rav Shimon Shichva Zera. Laroya b'mashu, for the one experiencing the emission, even a mashu, a small amount, will metamehim. L'nogea b'chadosha, when it comes to touching it, there will have to be a basic amount. Not any small amount, but a basic amount must be there. You see, a triangle appears here, and also on the next line. The Mivneh heading in the margin says, Kushios al Hanal. These are questions on what Rav Chaniloi taught. The mashma min koros, it's going to sound from sources that the nogea nitmo gamke b'mashu, that in the case of nogea, there is tuma through contact, even if there is just a mashu amount and not a basic minimum amount. So now, we continue in the Gemara. Vo anan mitamin b'kol shein tanan. Have we not learned in the Mishnah that they're metama bekol shehen, my lav lenogea? When it says that they're metama bekol shehen, is it not in fact referring to touching, which would be against Rav Chaniloi that said bechadosha loy leroya? The Mishnah speaks about metama bekol shehen means the person who's experiencing the emission. Toshma, we have a Tanaic source which at the end of this particular source the Gemara will once again raise the problem of it seeming to say that it's mitama benogea b'kol shehu. The source says, and that's two parts to it, choymer b'shichva zera mi b'sheretz, there are stringencies associated with semen that you don't find by sheretz, v'choymer b'sheretz mi b'shichva zera, and likewise there are stringencies by sheretz that you don't find by shichva zera. And here the source goes over the points with examples, starting with the second point first. Choymer b'sheretz, the stringency that is associated with sheretz, ha-sheretz, ein chaluka tum'oso. In the case of sheretz, there is no distinction with regard to the tumah. Ma'she'en kein b'shichva zera, as opposed to the realm of shichva zera, where we say there is chaluka tum'oso. The Gemara will explain this phrase later on. Choymer b'shichva zera, the stringency that's associated with shichva zera, shichva zera metame b'kol shehu, ma'she'en kein b'sheretz. Shichva zera communicates tumah even a kol shehu amount, which is not the case by sheretz. By sheretz, there is a minimum quantity less than which there will not be any tumah. My lav l'nogea, this last point, which said that the shichva zera is metame b'kol shehu, is it not in fact referring to nogea, someone who touches the substance, and that even a minuscule amount will be sufficient for communicating tumah through contact. Loi, that's not what the source is referring to. Laroya, it's talking about the person who experiences the shichva zera. He becomes tumah b'kol shehu. Question: V'hodumia de sheretz kotoni, but is it not taught in the same context as sheretz? Ma sheretz benegia av shichva zera benegia. Just like the concern surrounding sheretz is one of contact, so too the issue of shichva zera is one of contact. Amar Rav Ada bar Avo, Rav Ada says that's not the case. Rather, shum sheretz kotoni, v'shum shichva zera kotoni. The source which was interested in featuring general contrasts between sheretz and shichva zera, and the term shum is also can be understood as shame. The title sheretz is what's under discussion, as well as the title of shichva zera is what's under discussion, and not the specific aspects of each one. So that in general, we can say that shichva zera has a situation in it where it's metame b'koshu, even though it's a different situation than that which applies to the sheretz. Here, by shichva zera, we're talking about roa and shichva zera, and by sheretz, you're talking about mago. But nevertheless, in the realm of shichva zera, there is a stringency that there is tuma even b'koshu. It just so happens that that's referring to the case of roya. Hence, no problem, no kasha on Rav Chaniloi. At this point, the Gemara asks on that which was taught in the source. We have a little star to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text, which you can align with the previous star to enable you to see the basis of this question. In the source where your first star appeared, it mentioned that the concept of kolshu does not apply to a sheretz. So the Gemara asks, v'sheretz lo metame b'mashehu. Does a sheretz not communicate tumah with a minuscular amount, namely even without any stated minimum amount? We see that there is tumah communication even the kol shehu in the case of a sheretz. This, as it says, hoevorim ein lohem shiur, limbs of a sheretz don't have any minimum quantity. Pochos mikazayas besar hameis u pochos mikazayas besar nevela. So when you talk about limbs, if you're talking about limbs of, let's say, of a human corpse, even though in general human corpse flesh is not metama less than an olive quantity, when you're dealing with a limb, even if it's less than an olive quantity, but it's a complete limb, it will communicate tuma. And we've dashed underlined the main point: less than an adosha of a sheretz is capable of communicating tuma because it's a limb. So we see from here that the concept of kol shehu applies to a sheretz as well. So the Gemara answers, shiny aver, when you're talking about a complete limb, that is different. The kulei b'mokim adosha koi. The complete limb is viewed as an equivalent of an adosha when you're dealing with quantities. Deha ilu choser purta aver, if that very aver which you said has no quantity but it's incomplete, if that very aver was missing a little bit of its own substance, mi kometame, would it communicate tuma? So that in effect, sheretz in general, in order to communicate tuma, does have a minimum quantity requirement. And if you'll cite the case of an aver, the aver also is a form of minimum quantity insofar as that we require a complete aver. Any situation where you'll have less than a complete aver, there won't be tumas sheretz. We have an arrow to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text, which enables you to align this line with the line where the previous arrow appeared. And over there, the source spoke about something called chaluka tumasoi. So it mentioned that by sheretz, ein chaluka tumaso, as opposed to shichva zera, which is chaluka tumaso. So the Gemara asks, shichva zera de chaluka tumaso mai hi. What is meant by that? The double underlinings here are explained in the margin under our Mivneh heading, these double underlines you'll see are characterized with dots in them as well. They highlight the words Ilem or Elo. These are Shlavim, stages, Levarer, Hodekotoni, Shikva, Zera, Chaluka, Tum Oso. What is meant by that phrase? So the Gemara goes on with a suggestion, Ilem or, if you mean Bein Yisrael Lidin Nochrim, that with regard to semen, we make a distinction between Jews and Gentiles. Well, Hochanami, in the case of Sheretz, we could say the same type of distinction. Hochanami iko, achbor diyam, achbor diabosha. You have a sea mouse and a land mouse. A sea mouse will not communicate tuma. As the Gemara Chulin says, that all creatures that originate in the sea do not present any tuma threat. They don't present themselves as a source of tuma, as opposed to land animals. So, how can the source say that this concept of chaluka tumasu applies only to shechva zera and not to shrotzim, when you see that it could apply? So, what is the meaning of shechva zera chaluka tumasu, which does not apply to shrotzim? Ela, bein koton legodol, based on age. Koton is young, Godol is older. In the case of Shechva Zera, we make a distinction. The Shechva Zera of someone under 9 years of age will not mitame. Only above 9 years of age, in this case we're calling less than nine Koton and above nine Godol. When it comes to a Sheretz, there is no distinction made between a young Sheretz and an old Sheretz. They're all metama. Hence, in the source that we saw above, where that previous arrow existed, that's called a stringency that you find by Shrotzim. Where the source said, Chomer b'shichva zera, it said, Chomer b'sheretz. The stringency by Sheretz is Shasheretz ein chaluka tumoso. There is no distinction made in the age of the Sheretz. It's always going to be metame, which is not the case by Shechva Zera, where it's not always going to be metame. Hence, we call that a stringency by the Sheretz. So the term chaluka tumoso has to do with age. As we go on in the Gemara, we see the use of a diamond. This is explained under our Nosei Mivneh heading. Where the Gemara says Omar Rav Papa Kitanoi. Kitanoi means it is a machlokas tanoi. But what specifically is he referring to? So the Rashi says Kitanoi is Nogea I Bemashu I Bechadosha. The whole concept of Nogea that Rabbi Chaniloi featured above and said Nogea has a minimum shiur. When you're dealing with touching Shechva Zera, there must be a minimum shiur, a minimum quantity of Shechva Zera to communicate Tumah. So Rav Papa wants to say that that itself is a machlokas tanoim. Before we read our note, let's just point out that the machlokas tanoim will not be self-evident in the midst of a Tanaic source, which usually is the case when someone says Kitanoi. But rather, it's based on a machlokas tanoim in how you learn topics one from the other. So, with that in mind, we read the note in the outside margin where the diamond is featured. We have noted machlokas Rav Papa, Rav Huna Breid, Rabbi Noson. I Shayech Loimar, we'll see a machlokas whether it's possible to say the inyan noigea b'shechva zera b'mashu oy b'kishur, the issue of touching the semen, does it communicate tuma b'mashu or with a minimum shiur, provided there's a minimum shiur, have a machlokas tanoim, that it will be the subject of a machlokas tanoim. According to Rav Papa, it will be the subject of a machlokas tanoim. According to Rav Huna Breid Noson, it won't be. And what's the machlokas tanoim? Didon mino umino. One school of thought says then that when I have something that's unknown, I learn all topics from that very same topic. That's don mino umino. That everything that I learn from that topic, I will learn from the source. And you'll see, this will become clear as we go on in the Gemara, but it's called Don Mino Uminothet. Everything I'm learning about my unknown, I'm learning all the information from my original source. Mul Don Minov Uki Ba'asra, as opposed to a school of analysis that says that if I have something that's unknown, I'll learn my initial information from one source, but the balance of my unknown information I will learn from the topic that itself is unknown. So, L'Rav Popo Tanoihi, according to Rav Popo, this the issue is in fact a machlokas tanoim, and Rav Huna Breid Umason Lekuli Almo. Everyone will agree, beinyan shichva zera, that when you're dealing with this topic of shichva zera, don mino umino midin horoya shichva zera, everything will be derived from the laws concerning the citing of shichva zera. Now, before we learn the Gemara, we've attempted to outline the structure of the Gemara through a note in our other margin. And we've noted as follows. Lehochiach, the goal here is we have to establish, we have to prove two things. Number one, and we'll refer henceforth to these two things as Roman numerals 1 and 2. Point number one is Deshichva Zera Metama Benegia. First, we have to establish that this substance called semen is capable of communicating Tuma upon contact. And point number two is the issue of amount. B'mashu o b'kishi'ur. So we see L'Rav Papa, according to Rav Papa, there are two possibilities. There's Aleph, we note, is don mino mino, and a few lines later you see Beis, don mino v'uki ba'asra. These would represent two schools of Tanaic thought. Hence, according to Rav Papa, this issue turns out to be a machlokes tanoim. So going over Rav Papa, the don mino mino approach states the hakol misheretz. We're going to learn all of our information from the topic of sheretz. So stage one is, that's Roman number one, the issue of that there is tumas maga, nilmad misheretz, that there is a concept of nogea by shichva zera, learned from sheretz. And point number two is also the issue of quantity is also learned from sheretz. Not only nilmad misheretz, the yesh shiur, just like by sheretz we know there's a minimum shiur, so too by shichva zera. The other school of analysis would say don mino v'uki ba'asra. So stage one concerning that there is tumas mago by shichva zera, nilmad misheretz, the yesh nogea. So at this point, then, we leave the realm of sheretz, and regarding point number two, we go into the realm of shichva zera itself. Nilmad meroye. We'll learn from the concept of one who sees, who experiences an emission. The shichva zera b'mashehu. The roye shichva zera is b'mashehu. Therefore, nogea will also be b'mashehu. However, according to Rav Huna, Breder of Nosan, Kulei Alma Don Mino Umino. In this topic of Maga Shichva Zera, everyone will agree that we learn all the information from the original source. But in this case, our original source is going to be Shichva Zera itself. So, Rav Huna Breder says that Kulei Alma Don Mino Umino, stage one, is we call mina nilmad me ish me o ish the posuk o ish dechsiv eitzel shichva zera. From this expression of o ish that's found in a posuk regarding shichva zera, we learn that there is tumas mago umina, and furthermore nogeav shichva zera nilmad me roi shichva zera debemashehu. So that even stage one is learned from the topic of Shichva Zera, and hence we call this Don Mino Umino. We learn everything that we need to know about Shichva Zera from the topic itself of Shichva Zera. Let us now turn to the Gemara. Omar of Popo, Kitanoi. And this, by the way, is a long point, and we have this illustrated with the encircled nun to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text with a descending vertical dashed line. So Rav Popa says the issue of mago shichva zera, contact of shichva zera, does it mitame b'mashu or b'chadosha, is a machloikas tanoim. this Tanaic source says, Minayin l'rabbis noyev shech v'sera, from where do we know to include as an example of tuma contact with shech v'sera, tamalomar oy ish. Now, this is a posuk, at this point, it's a posuk from Sheretz. Upligi tanoi ba'almo, and when you have an unknown derived from another topic, in this case, our unknown is shi'ur of tumas mago b'shich vazera. That's the unknown. How do you go about deriving your unknown? So the Gemara says that in general, there's a machlokes tanoim. The Iko, the Amri, some say, don mino umino, that when you're deriving your unknown, you learn all aspects of your topic from one source. As we illustrated before, stage one and stage two are all learned from one source. The Iko, the Amri, another approach says, don mino v'uki ba'asra. You learn part of your information from one source, and the balance, but v'uki ba'asra means you establish the rest of the information in the very topic that you are questioning or investigating. Basra means literally in its own place. So here the Gemara spells out how each school would go about its derivation. Laman diomar do mino mino. According to that particular approach, we first have to establish that Shech Vazera communicates Tumah through Mako. So ma sheretz benegiyah, af Shech Vazera benegiyah. So that's the first stage. Umina. The second stage is continuing from that very same topic. That's domino umino, from it, ma sheretz bechadosha, just like sheretz, which was our source for establishing that there's tumas magob, we also know by sheretz that there's a minimum shiur of an adosha, af shivazer bechadosha, so too, the shivazer, in order to communicate tumah through magob, there has to be an adosha quantity. Less than that, no tumas mago the shichvazera. Ula ma diomar don mino vuki ba'asra. According to this school of thought, the conclusion is reached as follows. The first stage is the same. Ma sheres benegiyah shichvazera benegiyah. So as far as establishing that there exists tumas mago b'shichvazera, this approach also says let's learn it from the case of sheretz where there is tuma benegiyah. However, here is the difference. The Uki Ba'asra established the balance of information, the issue of quantity, from the topic of Shech Vazera itself. Ma Shech Vazera L'Roya B'Mashehu, just like by a semen release, there is a Mashu of Tuma for the Roya, for the one who experiences the emission. Af L'Nogea B'Mashehu, so too, the nogea, the one who touches semen, will become tomei with contact with even a mashehu. So according to Rav Papa, the issue of quantity vis-a-vis nogea when it comes to shich vazera is a machloikis tanoim. The school who learns don mino mino will conclude that there is a minimum quantity, and the school that says don mino v'uki ba'asra will say that there is no minimum quantity. Amarle Rav Huna braid Rav Nosson Rav Papa. Mimai. Rav Huna challenges Rav Papa and says, who says the Mimai de Meoyish the Sheretz Komar Bilei? Who says that the din of Mago vis a vis Shech Vazera is learned from the Oyish posuk found by Sheretz? Dilma Meoyish Asher Tetzim in a Shech Vazera Komar Bilei. Maybe he learns from the posuk found by Shech Vazera itself, that he includes that from there we learn that there is Maga. Udekule Alma Don Mino Umino. And being that we're able to establish Tumas Maga Bichlal, Tumas Maga in general by Shech Vazera from the topic of Shech Vazera itself, everyone will agree that we learn Mino Umino, both stages of information from that very topic. And if that's the case, so then everyone will agree that there's tumas mago b'shech vazera b'mashehu. Let's just go over that last point. First, in order to establish that there's tumas mago to begin with, that's learned from a posuk by Shech Vazera Oish. And then the issue of quantity will also be learned from Shechva Zera, namely from Roe of Shechva Zera, which is Bemashu, so to contact with Shechva Zera will be Bemashu. So that this approach says that it's not a machlokes tanoim. Shailinu l'tanoi ika detoni krav popo. The question was presented to tanoi. Tanoi in general are those that are expert in Tanaic sources. So it was posed to those type of people, and our research revealed ika detoni krav popo, ika detoni krav huna bre the Rav Nosson. There are those that have sources that reflect Rav Papa's approach that say Tumas Mago b'Shichva Zera is a machlokes tanoim regarding the shiur, and there are those that teach like Rav Huna Breider of Nosson that have sources that reflect it as being a non-controversial point. As we continue in the Gemara, we notice triangles that appear in the Mishnah. They highlight the terms tinoikes and tinoik. Under our Nosei Mivneh heading, in the margin, we have recorded Tinok / Tinoikes, Dinim Hakshurim L'Tinok V'Tinoikes B'nei Yoim Echad. We will highlight a series of halachas that apply to a one-day-old girl or boy. So, the Mishnah. Tinoikes Bas Yoim Echad Mitama Benida. A one-day-old girl is capable of being classified as a nido. In other words, if she has a blood flow, even if she's a day old, she's classified as a nido. Bas asara yomim mitama beziva. When she reaches 10 days of age, she could actually be classified as a ziva. And that would happen by virtue, first of all, as we've learned before, zava does not come about unless a woman had gone through a nido stage. So a nido stage means she would have had to be tamea for 7 days. So assuming she became a nido on day one of her life, that means she remains as a nido till day seven, and then day eight, nine, and ten, if she has a continuous blood flow, namely on each one of those 3 days, she would then become a zava. So you have a 10-day-old girl being classified as a zava. Tinok ben yom echad, a boy 1 day old, mitama beziva, if he has a zov release, he will be considered a zav, umitama benegoyim, and is subject to tzoras, umitama betomei meis, and can be considered tomei meis. Vizokek liibum. That is a case where the case of Yibum is a situation where a man died leaving no children. If that's the case, so the surviving sister-in-law would widow would marry the brother-in-law of the deceased. That's a basic case of Yibum. So that the case of Zokek Libum, if we glance at the Rashi, at the beginning of the Rashi commentary on the Mishnah, he says, Im noilad yoim echad kodem misas ochiv. If let's say a person that we know is going to die, we'll call him Reuven. Reuven is a person that 1 day before he died, he had a brother. Shimon was born. And the day of Shimon's birth, the next day, so Reuven dies. So what happens here? Reuven leaves in this world a brother 1 day old. In that case, Reuven's widow will not be able to marry until she is able to deal with the Shimon, the brother who's a day old. And the options exist of Yibum or Chalitza. So that the Zokek Yibum means a one-day-old surviving brother restricts the woman to the realm of Yibum, and she can't marry anyone else until something is done about this. Avol noga the achar misas ochiv. However, if let's say a man died leaving no brothers, and after his death a brother was born to, in other words, his parents remained alive and they produced a child that was born after the brother's death, eno zokek. So the almona, Reuven's widow, does not restricted. Dichtiv ki yeshvu achin yachtov. The pasuk says the brothers have to dwell together in this world in order for the widow to be restricted to the case of into the realm of yibum. That's as far as zokik liyibum is concerned. The next point in the Mishnah, upoter min hayibum. That's a case where, let us say, a man died, leaving a child, one day old, and he didn't live any longer than that. But the man who died left this world leaving a child, who lived for moments after his father deceased. So in such a case, the fact that the man died leaving a child, even if the child didn't live very much longer, the widow will not be in a yibum position, and she could marry whomever she likes. Umachil betruma, a one-day-old child. If, let us say, a Kohen married a woman, a woman who's a Bas Yisrael, and she on her own is not entitled to eat truma, but she married a Kohen. The Kohen's marriage with her entitles her to eat truma. And that husband dies. If he dies leaving no children, so the Bas Yisrael stops eating the truma. However, if he dies but a child is born from the Kohen, even if the child is born after the father's death, in other words, a man died leaving his wife pregnant, she was pregnant with a Kohen, because the child's identity is based on what the father was, so on the day that the child is born, she will be able to resume eating truma. Uposel min hatruma. This is a case of a bas kohen who is on her own, being she's the daughter of a kohen, is entitled to eat truma. However, if she married a Yisrael, by her marriage to Yisrael, she stops eating truma. If her husband dies, she would go back to her father's house and continue eating truma. However, if the Yisrael died, and in his death he left a child one day old, on the day that he died a Yisrael child was born, she is not allowed to go back to her father's house for the consumption of truma. The fact that this Bas Kohen has a son that is a Yisrael, that prevents her from eating truma. So these points apply even to babies that are one day old. At the top of Mem Dalet Amud Aleph, the Mishnah continues to say, V'noichel u'manchil. These are points that Rashi says will be discussed in the Gemara. V'ha-horgoi chayav. If someone kills an infant one day old, he is guilty of a capital offense, and he himself will be subject to a death penalty. V'arehu le'oviv u'limo l'chol krovov k'chosun sholem. A one-day-old child is unto his mother and father and to all his relatives like a complete chosun. Chosun generally is understood to refer to a groom, but for our purposes, as Rashi says, this too will be discussed later in the Gemara. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.